the week leading up to Easter, Jesus experienced many things. There are things as you look over that week that maybe you can relate to. On that triumphal entry day, on what we call and celebrate as Palm Sunday, he came from the Mount of Olives, and there on that mount he could oversee and he could see into Jerusalem, and he was moved with compassion before he came down that hill, crossed the Kidron Valley, and moved up into the city. But he was moved with compassion. And maybe you're moved with compassion over a community or a world that seems more and more in the throes of evil. The darkness seems to be around, and you wonder. Seems like it's creeping in. And for Jesus, he went, and the religious leaders, as he went into the temple area, and they were stealing from people that were trying to worship, and the corruption even in the religious leaders. They were in it for their own gain. They were religious in action, but did not have a relationship with Jesus. Some of his closest circle he knew was going to betray him. And maybe you have those relationships and you just don't know if you can trust them. People, family, those that you're close to, you feel like maybe they're plotting even against you. And his disciples are fighting over stupid things like who's going to be the greatest. He's been trying to tell him that he's going to die, and they're fighting over who's going to be the greatest. And don't we often see people fighting over the stupidest things? And maybe those around you are fighting over the stupidest things. Maybe your family is fighting over the stupidest things and are like, we need to get past this. There's things much more important. And in the garden, as he went up in the Garden of Gethsemane after taking of the Lord's Supper, and he went up and back up into the Mount of Olives, and there he was praying, and he couldn't sleep. His disciples, the ones around them, they were falling asleep, even the closest, Peter, James, and John. But he was in agony, and maybe you have those kinds of nights. He was struggling. He was struggling. He knew what had to be done. He knew that there was a challenge before him. He knew what was going to take place. And there he prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." But he wanted the cup to be taken from him. And the stress was so much that the capillaries in his sweat glands were bursting, and his sweat was mingled with blood. And maybe you've had that kind of stress, or maybe as you look into the future, you might know what God's asking you to do. But you have a certain trepidation, you have a fear, you have a concern, and you're stuck. You know what needs to be done. You know what God's asking you to do. But you can't move forward because the question's not settled. You can't be all God wants you to be because you can't get past this hurdle. Jesus prayed multiple times that the cup would pass from him, but finally, it was settled. And some would say he settled the question that night. He went through the motions of the crucifixion, but he knew at that time what was going to take place. Maybe you're in that kind of, you need to make a decision. You need to commit to a decision. You got to put it all in the hands of God. You got to get past it. You might be like Paul kicking against the pricks. And I say to you, don't let fear of tomorrow rob you of today and your tomorrows. Don't let fear of tomorrow rob you of both today and tomorrow. Maybe you, like Jesus, was betrayed. Jesus was betrayed with a kiss. Someone close to him betrayed him. Maybe that's you. And Jesus is in physical agony as he approaches and they beat him, spit on him, crucify him. And Jesus looks down and he asks someone else to help with his mother. Sometimes we need to ask for help, but he's trying to care for his mother. He needs to have somebody watch out for his mother. You know, we have those elderly parents, and they might have challenges, or other people that we know of, and we need help. And Jesus even feels abandoned by God. Maybe you've been there. Feeling abandoned by God, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's ridiculed by others, made fun of, put down. Yes, and Jesus even died. When somebody asks you the question, can Jesus relate? Well, I think he can. I think he can. And you've heard the saying, it's Friday, but Sunday is coming. But can I say to you, it was Friday and Sunday's here. He's risen. He has had victory over death itself. He's the first fruits, as it says, of those. And there's coming a day when we'll be able to rise with him, but he provides us the victory. The sin that bogs us down, the sin that infects us, he died on the cross for our sins. And as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we remember, just like Passover is celebrated, to remember how they brought them out of the bondage of Egypt through the cross. We can celebrate coming out of the bondage of sin. Yes, there are hard times. Yes, there are those that spit on us. Yes, there are those that ridicule. And sin is rampant. Death is there. There's physical turmoil. But he has overcome. And he can relate. We're going to turn to our scripture for this morning is 1 Corinthians 15:57. It sums it up. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the day to claim victory. Just as Jesus there in the garden did not say, let this cup pass from me. And then he surrendered. The decision had been made and he followed through with that agony and he gained and claimed the victory. We know how the story ends. If we're a follower of Christ, the story will end in victory. Song says, oh, victory, victory. in Jesus. Jesus is the answer for our society that is chasing themselves. They look in the mirror and that's their God. Jesus is the answer for those that are looking for virtue. They're trying to do the right things and the rules keep changing. They're on social media, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, whatever it might be. They're looking and searching for what is right and what is wrong and what's the right path, but they keep changing the rules. No wonder their stress and anxiety. You're with a group of people. These are the rules. And then they change the rules to make themselves look better, that they're more virtuous than you are. They change the rules. Now you're lost again. You're chasing new rules, new rights and wrongs, and about the time you get caught up, then they change them again because they're looking to advance themselves. But God is a non-changing God. He's an everlasting God, and through Him, we can have the victory because He wrote the book. He wrote the rules. Those are them. You follow those, on to victory. But if you try to follow man's rules, they're going to change them to their own advantage. They're going to mix them up. Whether you're, even if you're in sports or some kind of team or some band or some choir or something, there's these cliques and these mobs and they shift and and you're trying to fit. There's nowhere to fit. You fit in God's family. If you accept Him, you're part of God's family. And some out there, they claim to be God's family. They got the religious symbols and the religious signs, and they placard a church on the side, but they may not be part of God's family, but God's true family, you always belong. We're joint heirs with Jesus. Jesus should be the focus of our churches as they slide, try to create their own rules, and they try to create their own laws, just like they did in Jesus' time. They shifted them up to their advantage, and they went through the motions. But we need to be following the Word of God. Through Jesus is the answer. And if Jesus isn't part of that church, it's not a church. Yes, death comes and came in the world because of sin, and we have victory over that. Jesus is the victory for our society, victory for our churches. And Jesus teaches us how to love and interact with others, how to care for others, deal with those that make fun of us, deal with those that mistreat us. Oh, it's hard. It's hard. But we're not alone. You're never alone when you're in God's family. If we keep our focus on Him and we keep our minds right about Him, He teaches us. We've had sermons, you've heard sermons, you've read Scripture. We get in these petty distractions. Satan will stir the turmoil. Sons and daughters against parents, and parents and husband and wife, and families, and it's to distract us away from God. There will be differences, but there's a better way to work through them. But we have to seek the source of truth. The source of our victory is through Jesus. See, without Jesus, without his death and resurrection, we are without hope. We're a doomed mankind, destined for hell. But with Jesus, victory. There's victory. He can help us work through those things that overwhelm us. Things that are beyond us. See, he's smarter than we are. More power than we have. But he understands. He went through the turmoils. He went through the pain. He went through the rejection. He saw a society and churches that weren't being godly. But we need to be willing to ask. We need to be willing to let him help us in the way that he wants to. Sometimes he wants to help us and we reject it. Remember that story of the person that was in the flood and somebody came up in a 4x4 truck and says, "Hey, you need a ride?" And he said, "No, God will provide." The water got higher and someone came through with a boat and picked them up because the water was so high. He says, "No, God, I'm waiting on God to help me." They got on the roof and a helicopter come by and says, "You want me to pull you off the roof?" "No, I'm waiting on God to help me." They died. And they might ask God, "Well, where were you?" And God might say, "I sent you somebody in a 4x4. I sent you somebody in a boat. I sent you somebody in a helicopter. What more do you want?" God wants to help us. You need to let him. Peter didn't even want him to wash his feet. You need to be humble enough to ask God for help. You need to be humble enough to let other people help you. And as Jesus struggled with "Take this cup from me," he knew what was coming. What did we say? God is good. His mercy endures forever. So doesn't that mean that we should trust him with those decisions of life and the struggles of life? That thing that's got you stuck, that thing you know you should do, but you're apprehensive, that thing that God's asking you to do or calling you to do and you're holding back. You've got to decide to follow God so that he can fulfill his purpose. What he wants you to do. You have control to decide. But if you want to be all God wants you to be, then you need to let him tell you what it is he wants you to do. You might say, "Why isn't God using me?" Are you doing everything he's asking you to do? He could be preparing you for something. But is there a decision? Are you stressed on? Keep praying on it. But at some point, "Not my will, but thine be done." And yes, there are some that have to go through the physical trials like Jesus did and the challenges. Can I tell you? His grace is sufficient. And boy, those are easy words to say, and it's a hard thing to live through. But you know, he understands the agony. He understands the pain. I don't know that I have the answer to give to you if you're in that situation, but he knows he can, and there's victory in him. So trust in him. Place your loved ones like Jesus cared for his mother and had to find someone as he was on the cross to care for her. He understands. Sometimes we need help. Sometimes we need help. It's okay. Other times we just, but that's not just throw them off. Just get rid of your parents, so to speak. Let somebody else deal with them. Jesus was caring for his mother up to the point of death. He was caring for his mother up to the point of death. But he wanted to make sure that she was taken care of. But he needed help to do that. And Jesus felt forsaken from God, his Father. But God was still there. It was the sin that was the problem. And God is still there for you because Jesus died on the cross for that sin. So we don't have to be isolated. We don't have to be alone. You're not alone. In the midst of that difficult situation, and you feel bombarded and trapped, and no one else seems to understand, even the close ones, they want to understand. They really love you and they care for you, but it just feels like you're all alone. I've done this. You just might need to pray, help me, Jesus. You don't know, help me, Jesus, do this, or help me, Jesus, by doing that. You don't know how he needs to help you. All you knew is, I'm in trouble, and I need help. You know what? He understands, and he can help you. And in the midst of that, there's this, He may not give you all the answers to that problem. But there'll be a sense of peace coming that God is in control and God's got this. And if I trust in him, I just need to trust him for the next day. I need to trust him for today. And I need to trust him for tomorrow. Don't be so bound with worrying about tomorrow that I don't even live today. And if I'm not doing and living today for Jesus, it affects all my other days. And it undermines all the tomorrows. We are all part of the family of God. If you have no other family, or the ones close to you have rejected you, have betrayed you, we love you. God loves you. In the family of Jesus, we can be together. I was in Mexico one time, or just close to Mexico, outside of Nuevo Laredo. And we went to a church service. It was in the backyard. It was an outdoor place. And the walls had the glass on top of it, you know, so people didn't climb over in the courtyard. And there were some chickens and there were some ants crawling around at our feet. But when we worshiped together, I didn't know what they were saying, but I could sense the presence of God. I could sense the presence of God. So we might not always understand each other, but we know that God is with us, and I'm part of the family. I am not alone. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. And he is alive. So on this day, we need to remember the victory. So now I want to reread that passage from Matthew 28. Matthew 28, 5 through 9. Jesus had risen at this place. And at this point, the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. We're only going to read the first part of this verse, but I want you to listen. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." Why should we rejoice? Because Jesus is alive. Jesus has the victory. Jesus overcome sin, death, and the grave. And through him, we too can add victory. Let's be standing together. Lord Jesus, we rejoice that we can have victory. As the song says, victory in Jesus. Thank you that in the midst of whatever our struggle is, we know that you can relate, and we know through you is victory. And just saying, "Rejoice, he is risen," seem like simple phrases, but they embody all that you have done. Oh, your victory. May we each have victory in you today. May those that listen to the word today sense the Holy Spirit drawing them out of the despair and into the victory. That the hope is in you. Oh, thank you for that victory we can have in you. Bless us in these next few moments, we pray. In Jesus' name.